Matthew 9:27 through 31. As Yeshua passed by from there, two blind men followed him, calling out and saying, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he had come into the house, the blind men came to him. Yeshua said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They told him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith be it done to you." Their eyes were opened. Yeshua strictly commanded them, saying, "See that no one knows about this." But they went out and spread abroad his fame in all that land. Okay? What do you think of them? Why were they calling him Son of David? What does that mean? I mean, obviously it means he's a descendant of David, but why would that be important? Let's take a look at 2 Samuel 7:12.
Second Samuel what?
7:12.
Where is it?
Okay. Now this is an important chapter for us. As Messianic Jews and non-Jews gathered together, that word Messianic there means we're about the Messiah, right? That is what we are about. That is our focus. 2 Samuel chapter 7, the focus is about the Messiah. And so we need to know this chapter. And in this chapter, David wants to build the Lord a temple. Okay, and the Lord says to him, "It was good that was in your heart to build me a temple, but you won't build me a temple. Your son will build me a temple, and instead, David, I'm going to build a house for you—a house that won't. Your kingdom will be established forever." Okay, so 2 Samuel 7:12. God is speaking to David about his beautiful promise. "When your days are done and you sleep with your fathers, I will raise up your seed, your offspring, who will come forth from you after you, and I will establish his kingdom." One more verse. "He will build a house for my name, and I will establish his royal throne forever." Okay? "I will establish his royal throne forever." So, let's look at a couple verses I think we've looked at before. And these are also very important verses to us. Isaiah 7:14. I know we've looked at this before. And when we're talking in Matthew 2.
I don't remember what that one is.
It's the...
Yeah,
keep going, yeah.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. It's after Psalms.
Oh, okay.
In the Christian order.
Oh, it says after Psalms.
Oh, I'm sorry. I keep going.
Oh.
Yeah, I didn't mean right after Psalms. There you go.
Good. 7 what?
7:14.
Okay, 7:14.
All right. Okay. Michaela, let's hear what the ESV says in 7:14.
Just verse 14?
Yes.
"Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel."
Good. This passage is also about the Messiah. Okay, so Ahaz is the king of Israel, and he's afraid that the throne's going to be wiped out because he's got enemies coming. Mm-hmm. And the Lord says, "Don't be afraid, Emmanuel's coming," basically, right? The virgin will be pregnant, is basically what the Hebrew says. She'll be with child, and she'll call his name Emmanuel. And what does Emmanuel mean? God with us.
Yes.
Right. Imanu is with us. Im is with. When you add on the Anu there, it's with us. And El is the name for God. So God is with us. And so God's going to come in and rescue the throne of David. Okay? Let's look at just a couple chapters later. Isaiah chapter 9. And in the Hebrew Bibles, it's verse 5, and in the Christian Bibles, it's verse 6.
Okay.
And it says, for to us a child is born. We know this passage, right? For to us a child is born, a son will be given to us, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God.
Everlasting Father, mm-hmm. Prince of Peace.
Exactly. So Everlasting Father, or this version says, My Father of Eternity, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and shalom there will be no end, on the throne of who?
King David.
King, right. So the Messiah who's to be born, the child who is God with us, is going to reign on David's throne. Okay, so when these men are crying out, have mercy on us, son of David, they're saying, we know you're the Messiah. We're acknowledging you as the Messiah. Son of David you wouldn't say to any all descendant of David, son of David. This is an official title. Son of David, the one who comes to bring us that freedom, the one who comes to rescue Israel. We know who you are. Have mercy on us. In the Talmud, I know I've talked about the Talmud before, but just to reiterate, the Talmud is a collection of rabbinic writings completed around the year 500, and it says here in a portion of the Talmud called Sukkah 52a, it's talking about another passage that we're familiar with, and that is Zechariah 12. So why don't we look there real quick? Zechariah 12. And that's going to be kind of towards the back of your Old Testament there. Mm-hmm. And chapter 12 is right after chapter 11.
Oh, no, there it is.
You got it? Good. Zechariah 12:10. So the Talmud is discussing this portion, okay? And it says, Then I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication when they will look toward me whom they pierced. They will mourn for him as one mourns for an only son and grieve bitterly for him as one grieves for a firstborn. Definitely a passage for us to memorize. Here's God saying they're going to look to me whom they've pierced. So a divine pierced figure, who fits that bill other than Yeshua himself, mm-hmm. right? And the Talmud discusses this verse, okay? And afterwards it talks about the mourning, okay? So mourning, the mourning. So they'll grieve bitterly for him. We read that. Verse 11 that we didn't read talks about all the mourning going on in Jerusalem and all the mourning throughout the clans and everything. And the land shall mourn, every family apart, the family of the house of David apart, and their wives apart. Is it not, they said, a foregone conclusion? If in the future, when they will be engaged in the mourning, and the evil inclination will have no power over them, the Torah nevertheless says, men separately and women separately, how much more so now, when they are engaged in rejoicing and the evil inclination has sway over them? Okay, first of all, they're relating this portion to the doing away of what we call in Hebrew, Yetzer Hara, right? The evil inclination, okay? And so through the Messiah, they're admitting that the evil inclination will be done away with, okay? And if you look on to Zechariah 13:1, you see that a bit, right? In that day, a spring will be opened up to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from sin and impurity. Okay, so Messiah cleanses us from sin and impurity, but we're still mourning, and we're mourning apart, men over here, women over here, right? And so if they're that careful to keep men and women apart during that day when the evil inclination is done away with, how much more do we need to be careful now when we still have the evil inclination to make sure that men and women maintain a safe distance. So that's what it's saying anyway. What is the cause of the mourning? Okay. Rabbi Dosa and the rabbis differ on the point. One explained the cause is the slaying of Messiah, the son of Joseph. Who's Joseph?
Yeshua's
father. Okay, right. There's another important Joseph.
The coatsman.
Okay, there's that Joseph as well, right?
Another Joseph of Arimathea.
No. This is the Joseph that you're talking about, okay? The Messiah, the son of Joseph. It's talking about the Joseph in Egypt, right? The Joseph, the head of one of the 12 tribes, the one with
the many clothes?
Yes.
And the many colored
right,
clothes.
Right.
I remember that story.
Now, why do they call this Messiah the Messiah, son of Joseph? Because, do you know?
Because he had many dreams or something?
That is not a bad guess, but I'm afraid it's not correct in this case.
Sorry.
I appreciate the insight. It's good. The Messiah, son of Joseph, they say the scribes and the rabbis looked at the Torah and they looked at the prophets and they looked at the writings and they look at things that they think applies to the Messiah, and they say sometimes the Messiah is this wonderful, glorious figure. Sometimes the Messiah is a suffering servant, like Isaiah 53. Okay, and so they look at the story of Joseph and how Joseph was a suffering servant for a long time, thrown into a pit by his brothers, sold into slavery, falsely accused, mm-hmm. thrown into prison in Egypt. And so they say, this Messiah is not necessarily a descendant of Joseph, but they call him the son of Joseph in that he is one that's going to suffer like Joseph suffered. Okay? So the cause of the mourning, this rabbi is saying, is the slaying of Messiah, the son of Joseph. Okay? And the other explained the cause is the slaying of the evil inclination, which I find a little hard to, I side, of course, with the one who says the Messiah, son of Joseph. It is well, says the Talmud, it is well according to him who explains that the cause of the mourning is the slaying of the Messiah, the son of Joseph. Zechariah 12 is talking about the mourning because it's talking about the slaying of the Messiah, son of Joseph. Since that well agrees with the scriptural verse, and they shall look upon me because they have thrust him through, and they shall mourn for him as one mourns for his only son. Okay, so son of David here in Matthew, son of David here, they're saying, we know you're the Messiah, okay? And what we're going to fill out and what the scriptures are going to fill out when we see Yeshua walking on the earth and Yeshua's paying the ultimate price for us and Yeshua's rejection is that, yes, he is the Messiah, son of David, but first he's got to be the Messiah, son of Joseph, so to speak, the rejected one. So, anyway, just thought it interesting there, too, that the Talmud does give us at least a view that Zechariah 12 was seen as a messianic text from early times. Okay, so let's see. Let's continue on here. Okay, so now, verse 30 here. Okay, so as Yeshua passed by, let me go back here. Matthew 9, verse 27. As Yeshua passed by from there, two blind men followed him, calling out and saying, have mercy on us, son of David. When he had come into the house, the blind men came to him. So they had the tenacity and the perseverance, they actually followed him into the house. It's not just they met him on the road. I used to picture that way. No, they followed him into the house. They're, and why into the house? Maybe because Yeshua doesn't want to do this miracle out in the open right now, and we'll talk about that in a second. Yeshua said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They told him, "Yes, Lord." They have faith, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it done to you." Their eyes were opened. Yeshua strictly commanded them, saying, "See that no one knows about this." But they went out and spread abroad his fame in all that land.
Oh, because they're super excited.
They're super excited.
Well, unfortunately, I didn't even know something was different about the people.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, right. Right. However, the people are going to find out. The question is it just going to be those close that knew me are going to find out, or am I going to go out and broadcast it?
He's like a secret pop star. He didn't want anybody to know.
Yeah, now why not? Let's take a look at John chapter 6, verses 14 and 15.
Mm. Well, maybe because he didn't want people to see him greater than God, maybe? Or, I don't know. Or something like that, or...
I think, well, okay, so the idea of humility, right? And we see...
this is new, I'm not usually...
No, that's okay.
Speaking.
No, I appreciate you speaking, I really do. And I hope you don't mind, you know, when you say you have a lot of wisdom, and I will... I like to hear it. As long as you don't mind when you're wrong, me saying so.
Oh, no, that's so, fine. Because, okay. Like, if I'm wrong, tell me. I don't want to be going around saying things that I'm not saying anything right.
Well, I appreciate that. That's humble, like our Messiah was humble. All right, don't turn there, but because of what Michaela said, no, you can turn to the John portion.
Okay.
But what I'm about to say, don't turn to Philippians 2. I'll just read it to you.
Okay.
This is just based on what Michaela said. Now, we understand Yeshua as the perfect representation of God. We understand Yeshua as an extension of God into the human sphere. But Philippians 2, verses 5 and 6 say this, "Have this attitude in yourselves, which also was in Messiah Yeshua, who though existing in the form of God, did not consider being equal to God a thing to be grasped." Okay, so Michaela's thought that maybe he said this out of humility is not a bad thought, although I don't think it really applies to this verse. Mm-hmm. Your thought in general is good. On the other hand, he allows people to worship him, you know, and who are we to worship? No one but God. And anyway, he does show humility. Now, let's go to John chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. Okay. Michaela, what does your translation say there?
When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself.
Ooh. Oh, okay. So he's got to be the Messiah, son of Joseph, first. He can't just have them and make him king and be the son of David. I mean, he is the son of David, but that's not his role yet.
Yeah.
His role, I've got to suffer and die. I've got to be, I'm not here to overthrow Rome. Yeah, at least not yet. You know, my role now is to be the Messiah, son of Joseph. And so...
It makes more sense than what I said.
So, yeah, I think the lesson here is don't spread this around. Let me heal you. Okay,
yeah.
But don't go spread this around because that's going to interfere with my plans or at least make it more difficult. Okay, any questions on that portion?
Yep, pretty much answered mine.
Good? Okay.